Welcome to Allison's Wonderland. I'm your host, Allison Packard. Join us as we journey through the looking glass and down the rabbit hole into the wild and wonderful world of animation and video games. Hey, do a girl a favor and please subscribe to this podcast and go on iTunes and leave us a good review. If you like the show, please help spread the word. It really helps us to get heard by more people. Thanks so much.
Welcome to Sanetti!
Yay!
Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Happy Monday morning.
Ooh,
I can't believe we're made it. Cheers.
Cheers. We're here. We made it.
We're just talking about, I don't usually record these Monday morning, but it just worked out.
Yep.
Get it in before I'm going out of town.
Yep.
And we're both.
We're both available.
Yep.
And here.
And a little tired.
Tired. I have multiple beverages. We're good.
It's like a pajama party the day
after. Yeah, exactly. When everyone's like,
I love you.
Yeah,
I feel good, but I also feel a little... detached, half in reality and half in like the good vibes of last night.
Oh my gosh.
Because you were just celebrating your birthday.
I was. Yeah, Brizzy and I, and my best friend Anna Brisbane, who's also a voice actor and who was also on your show because I've watched her and I was like, oh my God, yes. We have birthdays around the same time. So we like to do a joint birthday thing when we can. So we went to a nice little cabin in the woods with our friends and did some like fun, like karaoke, witchy stuff. It was ideal. It was amazing.
Ah, witchy stuff.
Which
leaves a lot open to the imagination.
Yeah, of course.
Do you care to carve out some,
just some tarot, some manifesting is always good, some runes. We did a little of everything.
Amazing.
It was great.
So fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you guys have been friends for like a million years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I met her when I first sort of came out here. I would say like 2014, 15 is when we met.
Okay.
And it's so funny because both me and her, like, do not remember the exact moment when that was. And we're like, why do we not remember this? But then we remember later, like, when we started becoming, like, deeper friends. But, like, normally I can remember, like, the exact moment that I first met someone. But both of us are just like, when was that? When did that happen? Like, how did this become what it is? But it was just meant to be. Two Ravenclaw, Virgo queens that love voice acting, you know?
You know what's so funny? My son and I were just taking Harry Potter.
Oh, the quizzes?
House Are We quiz this morning, the BuzzFeed one that doesn't make you log in.
Oh, okay. Okay. I mean, I don't know if that one's
real or not.
It's a warm up.
Okay.
I can give you the more advanced one.
Okay.
There's more advanced versions that I can give you that where you don't have to log into a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're all Ravenclaw?
Yes, I'm a Ravenclaw.
My son
through and through.
My son tested equal parts all houses.
He said the avatar.
He said that was the survey said it was very rare.
That's incredible. Okay, he's our wizard god. We will just bow down to him.
Once you meet him, too.
You're like he is a wizard god.
He'll like show up to school in like a full on gold suit.
Oh my gosh,
it's free dressing.
Wait, I used to do stuff like that all the time. They used to call me like most school spirited, but I'm like, I hate our school, but I love dressing up. So I was like, I get him.
Yeah.
I love a good dress up day.
He's a little love.
Hey.
And I am slightly more Gryffindor, but then the second is Slytherin.
A lot of actors that I know are Gryffindor, and it makes sense, or have a lot of Gryffindor in them because you have to put yourself out there. It's brave. It's brave what you
do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll go rock climbing, camping. But then the Slytherin, you know, it's hard to own that.
That's
but
my husband.
I guess they do play a lot of baddies.
So. Oh, I mean, my husband is a Slytherin. He's a lawyer and he is, you know.
Oh, he is.
He used
but
to be an actor.
He
went from actor to lawyer.
Hey.
What an interesting pipeline that was.
Wow.
Right?
There's a lot of collage for the
lawyering. Yes. He's one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Seems like you guys have a lot of fun. Oh my God, your wedding.
It was so fun. Yeah. Oh my God, it was the best. We had the best wedding. Yes, it was last year. I can't even believe that it's already been a year. And it was, there's so much planning, so much that went into it, but it was so worth it. It's one of those things, like, if you have not been, if you're getting married, I know that it is so, so stressful. It is worth it. It is worth every single, like, time. Because at first when I was doing it, I'm like, is this going to be worth it? Because I'm so stressed right now. There's so much that goes into it. It is. It is.
Yeah. And like you can really make it your own. That's what's so special about your wedding and our wedding too. It's like ours was
what's
the love
special
ball.
To you.
Yeah. And so you can create
it
as an experiential event. Think about the guest experience and what you want them to walk away with.
Because did you ever dream about, like, having a wedding, like, as a child? Because I never did.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So it's, like, it's a weird experience when you're finally there
and
you haven't been picturing it your whole life. And then you're like, what do I want? There's so many things.
Yeah.
But then if you just, like, go back to, like, your love story, and it's like, what is important in that? Like, why are the reasons that we fell in love? What do we love together? If you just stick to that, you're golden.
You're the creator of your own love story.
Yes.
And you get to create the experience of that for the guests.
Exactly.
Which is really nice. And the details. Mm-hmm. You know, the details are so.
Yeah.
That's where the sweetness comes
from. Oh, of course. It's like the special little things that you're just like, I'm going to remember this forever.
Is there one little detail that or surprise that stands out to you?
There were so many.
Was it the Spider-Man?
I mean,
Spider-Man?
That was a good one. I mean, we had a drag queen dressed as Bellatrix, my pair. So every person from our ceremony to reception, in our reception, they all changed into costumes. Because originally, we got engaged in 2019 and wanted to get married in 2020 on Halloween. Like, that was our original plan.
Uh-huh.
But then because of, you know, COVID, couldn't happen. And also, like, my husband started his new job, so then we couldn't get married in October anymore because that's like one of the busiest times for him.
Yeah.
And so we're like, oh my God, what are we going to do? We really wanted to dress up. We love Halloween. So it's like, we're just going to do it anyway. We're just going to make everyone dress up in March and it's going to be fine. And
we also had a costume wedding.
Oh my, see, that's what I mean. It's like you want those parts. Yeah, you want those parts. And so we like told everyone, like, if for the reception, you have to change and you have to be dressed up. And everyone went so full out that I was like, oh, this is making my life. And my parents were probably my favorite. My mom dressed as Cruella de Vil and my dad was a Dalmatian on a leash. And I'm like, Mom. Mother. It was incredible.
Mommy.
The whole thing was amazing. Yeah. I was like, that's where I get it from. If you're wondering, it's her. So it was amazing.
Wow, that's amazing. So speaking of your parents, where did you grow up? What was your childhood like?
Ooh, I grew up in Pennsylvania in the middle of nowhere, in between the Amish country and Philly. Again, middle of nowhere farmland. And my parents were very artistic people. So my mom has her doctorate degree in dance.
Whoa.
Which is the coolest thing.
You could do that.
Right? Yeah. Like, my mom is literally my hero. Uh-huh. She has been my hero my whole life. And she grew up not only like running the dance program at a university, but she also opened a dance studio for me and my sister. So she had like two jobs like my whole life. And that's what I mean. She is superwoman. She can do everything. She is like amazing in my eyes. And so she taught like me and Kelsey how to dance because we really loved it and it was in us and she was a dancer and we were as well. So that's sort of where like my artistic expression and it, like in my heart, it all started with dance. And my dad, he was a musician and then he like was a roadie for Live Aid for a while. And then he was at Kutztown, like where my mom was at, like doing like the soundboards.
Kutztown?
Kutztown University.
Kutztown
That's
University.
Like where,
okay.
where
I thought it was like Kutztown.
Kutztown. Yeah, Pennsylvania. Kutztown. Honestly.
That was a dance studio, maybe.
Right? It does sound like a dance studio. So it's like me and my sister were raised in a very like artistic household. But also I think the biggest thing is that my parents were always so, so supportive of like whatever me and Kelsey, who's my younger sister, wanted to do.
They
were
like
three.
Aww.
Yeah, she's my baby sister. I love her. But they were always like, we're there. Whatever you need, we'll make it happen. And when I first was like, oh my God, musical theater. Oh my God, this is amazing. Like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
My parents were like, are you sure? And I was like, yes, I'll do anything. And they're like, okay, if you're serious, like we'll be there with you. And so they would like drive me to auditions. They would drive me to certain things. They would help me like through these areas. They would be there as a support system for me. And that was, I just couldn't have done
what
it without them. Oh my God, it's insane. I can't imagine not having that support. And so people that tell me that they don't, I'm just like heartbroken. I'm like, I'll be your support. Let me support you because it's like, that's so important.
So important.
Yeah.
You know, eventually I think people learn to become that for themselves.
Right.
Is to be that own support system.
Right.
Because a lot of times, you know, even if your parents do support you, sometimes the energy is mixed.
For sure.
You know, but that's, I mean, what an amazing experience. And I'm sure that helped you get your first start. Was it 15, would you say, was your first big break? With Billy Elliot?
That was my big break was Billy Elliot. I was 16, 17 at the time.
Oh, okay.
But I was playing a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
So.
Tell us about the audition.
Oh,
it sounds like
my
an interesting
gosh.
Story.
I mean, it's a wild story because it was an open call. I didn't have my equity card. literally
like hundreds of people lined up.
1,500 people at the original audition. They needed 12 ballet girls, and I just auditioned. I showed up. I was first on the non-union list because I just wrote my name down on a clipboard that they passed down, and I had my EMC card because I had done one like regional theater show before that, but that's it. I've never done any other professional.
And this is for Broadway.
This is for Broadway.
Was it in New York?
It was in New York. Yeah. So I like drove up to New. Oh, and this is so funny. I had forgotten.
With your parents?
Yes, my mom was with me, and I had forgotten my tap shoes, and I needed them. And so I called my dad, and I was like, "Dad!" And we were like in line waiting. I'm like, "Dad, I need my tap." He drove to New York City
from Pennsylvania,
and threw my tap shoes out of the window. My mom caught them and gave them to me 5 minutes before the audition started. And I was like, "Oh my God!" Because nothing was open yet, because it was in the morning. So I was like, "I can't even go get like tap shoes. I don't even know what to do." So it worked out. It was all fine. But yeah, it just kept getting callback after callback. And there was like one big chunk where they got rid of everyone. And then they had a big 3-day callback. And that was where they just kept doing like combination singing, like tap dancing, ballet dancing, like adding characters on top. It was nuts. It was the most intense audition process I've ever been through in my life. And then by the end of it, I was one of the 12 girls that were left. And that started my whole life, my whole creative just life in the entertainment industry.
Wow.
Started in the original cast of Billy Elliot the Musical on Broadway. I did over 1,000 shows. I was in the show for 2.5 years, and it was a lot of dancing. So it was mainly just dancing, and we had characters like on top of that. Uh-huh. So it was a little more than just ensemble, mm-hmm. because like the ballet girls were a big part of Billy's story. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's sort of where. But it was so cool being a part of like an original cast, because we got to go to like the Tony Awards, and we got to like do the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Oh,
and like,
wow.
So I was just like, this is my dream. And that was my only dream. That's like all I wanted was to be on Broadway. I was like, this is it. And then after that happened, I was just like, because when good things happen, also bad things can happen. I got a back injury.
Oh, no.
From being in the show, because our stage was raked. So, which means it's like on a slant.
Okay.
And which is great for the audience because they can see everything. It is so hard to dance on. And any Billy Elliot that you've seen, like they have to learn how to dance on a raked stage. So they like you have to hold yourself different. It's like so different than just dancing on flat a flat floor. So eventually, because I'd done so many shows and I was doing them full out because I was like, you know, every person, this is their first time seeing it.
Yeah.
I never wanted to like, you know, do it half-ass. My back tweaked. And I got this spasm in my back, and it was like a bulging disc, and it was really bad. And I had to be in physical therapy for like a full year. And then they tried to put me back in the show, but as soon as I went back on that rake stage, it got triggered again, so I couldn't do it. So it was really sad because I never got to have like a last show. I never got like that closure with that. But it was okay. It was okay. I had an amazing experience up until then. And it really like taught me that about like in the entertainment industry that can happen, and it's been happening. Like, oh, like this amazing thing will happen, but then it won't be like as perfect as your brain, like you know, imagines it. You know, there's it's a little rocky sometimes.
Yeah.
There's a little like things that can happen. So I think just that young realizing that to just sort of like.
Go with the flow.
It's not going to be perfect. Like, even though it's an amazing thing, it might not be exactly what you imagine. Oh, my God. It was, like, the best the best advice I could have given myself at that time.
Wow.
Yeah. So after that, I didn't really know what to do.
Were you living in New York?
I was living in New York. And I'm like, my whole dream was to be on Broadway. And they were like, we don't know if you're going to be able to dance again. Like, we don't know. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself. So
and are you creating content at this time? Because I know that's also...
This is exactly when I started. Okay. And that's why I started. Because I had started watching YouTube just for fun. And I loved like the creative things that people were making.
What year is this?
This was like 2011.
Okay.
Like, yeah, 2010, 2011. And because I started Billy when I was like in 2008. So
By the way, did you go to school when you were doing it?
I was in my final year of high school, the first year of Billy, and I did that remote. So then I graduated and then I tried. I was in two different colleges. I tried and I couldn't do it. So I was like a college dropout.
Oh.
Yeah. But, like, I couldn't do both. It was impossible for me because it's so, so, like, it was, like, 8 shows a week, and it was a very, very, like, physical show.
Yeah.
So I was, like, exhausted.
You gotta rest.
Yeah. So I just couldn't do it. It was impossible for my brain. But it was one of those things where, like, I had to figure out what I wanted to do next. And YouTube was something that I just, like, started getting into just because I liked the things that people were making. And the last Harry Potter movie was about to come out, and I was obsessed with the Book of Mormon at the time. It was, like, my favorite musical. I'd seen it 12 times, the original cast, because I was, like, kind of depressed because they're, like, you can't do your dream anymore. So I'm just, like, I guess I just need to, like, figure out what to do with myself. So I was just, like, I'm just going to see this musical that I love so much. So, like, I was walking down the streets of New York City, and I was reading Harry Potter, because the last movie, and then I was listening to Book of Mormon. I was like, this book will change your life. And I was like, wow, Harry Potter really changed my life. Someone should make a video about that. I should do it. Like, that was literally, like, my thought process. And so I made this Harry Potter Book of Mormon parody, and it blew up, and it changed my life.
Wow.
And that's how Pat Brady found me on the internet, was through that video. She had seen
it.
Huge Harry Potter fan. And she was like, this is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. She's like, if you're ever in LA, let me know. And I was just like, and she was also StarKid's manager at the time, like Team StarKid. They made the Harry Potter musical. And my husband was in that, and he was Snape.
Did you know him at the time?
I did not. I did not. Pat's the one who said, if you guys should meet, don't date each other. And then we did. But it's all because of Pat. She's our matchmaker.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And at our wedding, she had a little matchmaker thing.
Oh, she went as the matchmaker.
Yeah. It's all because
she's
of her.
She's your fairy godmother.
She is. She literally is. And she is the reason why I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should go out to LA. Like, I had never even thought about it. It didn't really cross my brain at all. But then I was like, I need to get out of New York right now because it's like it had all of those like negative feelings towards it. And I was like, I can go back if it doesn't work out, but let me go out to LA. And LA was just like, I loved it. I immediately loved it because it was so different, but there was still so much opportunity. Because like not only was there acting stuff out there, but there was like internet stuff out there. A lot of like, you know, YouTubers were coming to LA. So I was like, oh, this is cool. I could like do both things here. This is perfect. So it was one of those things that it really like worked out. And then when I got out here, Pat was in charge of the voiceover department. And she was like, have you ever thought about voiceover? And I'm like, not really. And she's like, you should try it out. You have a very like animated type voice. And also with your theater background, you're like, I'm like a human cartoon character, just like myself. So I'm like, yeah, I would love to try that out. And she was like, okay, so come in here with like 10 different voices and we'll put you in the booth and we'll see like, you know, what you can do with it. So I came in and also I was like looking at them for, this was CESD, for on camera as well, because I was like, let's try out everything.
Yeah.
And so I did that audition and she's like, this is great. You got to try this out. Just do your best and we're going to hire you. Like we're going to sign you across the board. And see how you do and see, like, if it works out. And it just, like, it really did work out. It was one of those things where I told them, like, when I moved here, I'm like, okay, I want to do 3 things, like, on camera. Because they're like, what do you, like, what is your dream? Or, like, what are, like, the goals that you have? And I'm like, 3 things. I was like, I want to be on Disney Channel. I want to be on Nickelodeon. And I want to be on Glee. Like, those are my 3 on-camera, like, goals. And I did all of them. And I was like, yeah! But then when that was over, that's why I was like, okay, I'm good with on camera. We're good. I was like, I did all the goals that I wanted.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm one of those people where I have like, I don't know, I feel like you would be a similar person where I need to visualize the thing in order to do it. And people are like, well, don't you want to like win an Oscar or do it? I'm like, no, because I can't see myself doing that. I can't like put myself in that scenario. And so I don't want to like go after these goals that seem unrealistic to me. Like I want to, and then if things get bigger, then you can like broaden the goals, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm that type of person.
You feel your way through it,
right? Yeah. It needs to feel a little uncomfortable, but achievable. It's like, you don't want to stay in your comfort zone, but you still like, don't want to think so far out that it's just like, oh, I'll never get there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been with CESD since I moved out here for like 10 years. And like, you know, I just booked my first cartoon like with Tiny Toons. And that was the first cartoon I've ever done.
Let's talk about Tiny Toons
Let's talk about it. I'm so excited.
That's one of my favorite shows growing up.
Same.
Yeah.
Which is why it was like, this is intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me about the process. Did it just come through like a regular old audition?
Yep. It was just a regular audition, and I auditioned for it, and I didn't even get a call back. They just called that I had booked it. So I was just, I was so floored. Like, it was one of those things where I'm like, I'm just going to submit this, but there's no way. This is like so, like, you know, this is so intense and so crazy. And also, actually, this is a thing I want to say. Like, right before that, I got that audition. I was about to quit.
Oh, wow.
I was about to quit altogether, like voice acting altogether, because I'm just like, this is like, it's too much for me to do on top of everything else. I like feel like I'm submitting like stuff, and it doesn't feel right for me. I feel like I'm just submitting to submit. It's not fun for me anymore. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't feeling like really excited about it like I used to. And before, in the past, when that happened to me, I was like, well, it's time to move on. I don't want to feel like trapped in this. And then I called Pat, and Pat was the one who was like, Tessa, don't do it. She's like, you've been so close. You've gotten so close. And also, your voice is something that's like, we need, like, it's very specific, and not a lot of people have it, because there's people like, I don't like people that I think are incredible, like David or Brizzy, that like their voices can turn into so many different things.
Uh-huh.
My voice cannot do that. Like, I am not, like, I can do like some like fun impressions, but I can't really transform my voice. I really have, like, I can take it different places, but I really just have my voice that I can take different places.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat was like, that's the voice that you have is something that we don't see a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, so that's still something that's very useful. And if you could somehow make this fun for you.
Yeah.
Keep doing it. So I had to be like, how can I make this fun for me again? And in my brain, what I did is I was like, you know what? This is going to be my hobby. I'm going to make this a hobby. I'm not going to think of this as a career, because I was putting too much pressure on myself.
Uh-huh.
I was making it like, oh, I have to like get it to this in order to be like comfortable with calling myself a voice actor or stuff like that. I was getting too in my head about it. And I was like, stop it. Like, keep this fun. Like, this should be fun. So I'm like, it's just going to be a hobby. I'm just going to. And also, I became more, like, picky about my auditions. Because that was something that, like, Pat told me as well. She's like, don't do the auditions if you don't, it doesn't feel right to you. If it's like, what we want is you to submit the best auditions to us. So however you can do that.
Yeah.
And to still have fun with it and to still keep, do that. So I made that change, and I booked Tiny Toons right after, like a month later.
So did you submit one take, two takes?
One take.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you remember any of the lines?
Oh, man.
Give us a little sample of
your character. Man. Well, I mean, I think in the original audition, it was like, the name's Sweetie. Like, oh, I can't believe it. It was like a lot of like really intense. And then it was like, you know, I'm cool. Like, it was a lot of that kind of vibe, because she had a lot of, she's like really passionate and really intense. But then she's like, I'm cool. Yeah. So, so it was more of those, and she was more punky. And the reason why I really, really fell in love with her and this version of Sweetie, because like the sweet, like Candy Milo voiced like the original Sweetie in the OG Tiny Toons. And that Sweetie like was so cute and adorable, and I loved her. But like, they gave her a much bigger role in this, in Luniversity, because now she's like one of like the five like main friends that you're following. And at first I was like, of course, like, Candy is so freaking talented that, like, they took this role that, like, didn't even have a lot to do with it. And they're like, this role is so good that we're going to now blow it up. But the change that they made in her, she's, like, this, like, punky, like, fun, like, really intense and emotional, like, bird. And I just, like, feel that in my soul. Like, she's just obsessed with her friends.
Uh-huh.
And she'll just, like, go to her friends and, like, yell in their face and be like, you're amazing. And
that's like, kind of like you.
That's, like, exactly me. So she is, like, the more exaggerated version of me.
Yeah.
She literally is, like, the perfect, like, character for me. Like, I just lucked out that she, like, was me. And they, I can't remember if it was Nate or Aaron, who are our producers, who told me, maybe both of them, where I was actually like the first person they cast.
Wow.
So they, like, when they were listening, they were just like, yep, like that's what we want. Exactly this. And I was like, yes. Thank you.
So you're just like, oh my God, I'm starring in one of my favorite shows.
Yes.
Hey guys, this is Allison Packard. Sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to let you know that if you like the show, please, please, please remember to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps us to get heard by more people. Thanks so much.
And I remember in the original audition as well, they had us sing the theme song, like in the original audition. And I just remember like, oh my God, this is like a pinch me moment. And then when we recorded that theme song, like our version of the theme song, that was my favorite day of recording. Because I'm like this, like I remember Saturday morning cartoons, being with my sister, watching, hearing this theme song. Like even if we were like running around doing something, but when we heard the Tiny Toons theme song, we would like run into the living room and like dance around to the theme song and then like watch the show. And like it was such like a specific, because I don't know if theme songs are, I feel like they're not as long as they used to be. Mm. You know what I mean?
And
they're shorter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bring those back. And that's why our version, the Lunaversity theme song, is long.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, bring back the long cartoon theme songs. Because they're so fun.
I think the thing is everybody streams now, so it's like you're watching it. Watching six in a row.
But hey, I
always pass.
I watch, like, when I watch Game of Thrones, I listen to the theme song every time. Nice. If a theme song is good enough, you do not want to skip it. It is worth the time. And then you can go get something and then come back. And I don't know. I love a good theme song. It's especially with cartoons. Like all my favorite cartoons, like when I think of them growing up, I'm like, I think of the theme song first. And then I think of like, because it really gives like the vibes of the whole show. But yeah, this was a pinch me moment.
Have you had the chance to connect with any fans? I know it just came out a couple weeks
ago. I know. It just came out. Well, we got to go to Comic-Con, which was fun. It changed how it was originally going to be, because originally we were going to have a panel. But then because of the strike, we were like, we want to be supportive. And it was right after like the strike was announced. And it's like, our show, technically, we were still allowed to do it.
Right, because animation is not covered by WGA, nor the SAG contract that we're speaking against.
Right, so technically, we could have still done the panel. We still could have done everything. But it felt like it was too soon. It didn't feel fair for us to be able to promote and other people. I mean, we wanted to do it as like an act of solidarity. Uh-huh. So they had a screening instead, and we just sat in and watched the screening like as fans with everyone else. And we wore our SAG shirts, and we were all there together. And it was so great. It was so cool. I actually liked it better than a panel.
The pilot?
No, it was two random episodes, which was kind of fun. They like picked two randoms because like the pilot, there's so much pressure there that I felt like they just...
You gotta tell a lot of stories.
Yeah, and they like... People know like the gist of Tiny Toons, you know?
They're at a different school now.
They're at the school. They're with Bugs Bunny. So like being able to sit and hear... like people laughing and people like really like loving the show.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is so much better because like doing a panel before the show's even out, you're just like, I don't even know if this is good. Yeah. Like, I don't even, like, I can guess, but like, you don't know the end product. So being able to see that, I'm like, this is so much better.
Well, and they had done something at Comic-Con the year before, right?
Yes.
With Babs and Buster.
It was just Ashley. It was just Babs. So we were like...
That's interesting.
We were there because it was great to see her and we wanted to support her. But it was hard because then we had to wait a whole nother year before we said anything.
Yeah, I had David Rigo Jr. on the show about a year ago. And
he couldn't say. He's like, something.
We have to have him back.
Yeah. I mean, we started recording this 2 years ago.
Wow.
So, like, it's been 2 years where, like, I couldn't tell anybody.
Did Steven Spielberg have any part in this one?
Yes, but he never spoke to us. Big Daddy did not speak to us. So, I've never spoken to the man. So, I don't, but he is definitely involved.
Uh-huh.
Like, he was involved with, like, casting. He was involved in, like, final say with a lot of things. Like, people have showed me emails where he was, like, talking. But, like, he has never,
write down
the email. I know. But he's never, like, directed us, like, talked to us directly, told us anything directly. But that's fine. Maybe one day.
Wow.
Maybe one day.
Amazing.
I know.
So have you guys finished recording the entire first season?
Yes. We're like still recording pickups for things here and there. But for the most part, we're
through
most of it.
Well, hopefully you'll get a season two.
Well, we do have a season
officially,
two. Well, that was in the job originally. It was a two-season pickup.
Oh,
so we lucked out. So,
perfect.
And also that it was weird because we've been continuously recording, and I'm like, I can't remember like what is season one and what is season two, because it was all so back to back for us.
Yeah.
So I was,
how often were you going in?
Oh my God, like just a lot. Like that's what I mean. I've been going in. More. Yeah, I mean, it was more at the beginning when we were recording. Like now with pickups, we go in like once a month or something. But in the beginning, it was a lot. It was a couple times, like at probably like once a week, and then it went to like a couple times a month. It just sort of like tapered off.
And were you guys recording ensemble or?
Because
it was pandemic, right?
I know. Mm. So they, at the beginning, we did a couple of sessions where we were all like in a different room, but all on Zoom at the same time. So it like kind of works, but then I just feel like.
At a studio?
Yeah.
I've done that too, where they have you like cordoned off.
Right.
Was it Salami?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they have those little studios.
But you're like.
Hi.
Yeah, so you're just like
breathing my own air in here.
Yeah, so but it was I liked that because at least we were able to meet each other.
Yeah,
because like some people, it's like when you're recording everything so remotely, like you never even get to meet the other people sometimes.
And
our show was so like relationship based and so like, you know, you really had to have that camaraderie with the other like actors that we lucked out because we just became friends anyway. So I think that really helped and like bled through into our performances. But like, oh my God, it would have been so much easier for us to all record together, I feel. Mm-hmm. But just because of the pandemic and because of scheduling, it's just harder to schedule that many people too. And we had so much to do. Mm-hmm. I think it was just easier to do by ourselves. We lucky enough, we had like really good people leading us. So it all sounded incredible by the end. But, I love when people get to record together. It's just such,
that's a dream,
it's
right?
It's such a vibe. A you get to just feel the energy of everyone. And there's nothing like that. It's just so fun.
So it's been a while since you've uploaded anything to YouTube.
Yes.
Is that intentional or are you just busy?
What it is, I got really burnt out on it.
Yeah.
And also, I just... In 2020, you know, J.K. Rowling opened her mouth and a lot of my life changed because I was the Harry Potter person. I was known as the YouTube Harry Potter girl. Mm-hmm. And like people were coming to me and being like, what am I still allowed to like Harry Potter? And I'm like, I am not the person like to be asking this. Like I only can do what feels comfortable to me. Mm-hmm. But it's like you need to make your own decision with that. So I didn't feel comfortable being like the center, like the talking person for that. I'm like, I'm not trans. I'm not someone that like is really feeling like, I'm heartbroken that my hero is like saying these hurtful things, but it's like, I am not the person who should be speaking on this. Mm-hmm. Like I am not the person that people should be going to for that. So and I had to like figure out sort of my own. So it was like, I had to find my own relationship with it again. Mm-hmm. And also people were saying that like sometimes if they were seeing Harry Potter things, it was making them uncomfortable. It was making them, so I didn't want.
Triggering.
I didn't want to be that place. Like, because the whole reason I was doing it in the first place was it was a safe space where we could all like, you know, nerd out together and feel happy. Like, I didn't want to make anyone feel bad.
Yeah.
So that was part of the reason that I was just like, I can't, I need to step away from this for a second because like I'm feeling uncomfortable about it. And then with that, I was like, okay. And then like TikTok kind of like rose up at the same time that that was happening. So I was just kind of like having fun like around there. And then when that started like getting more attention, I was like, you know what? Like short form content is kind of like fun. It doesn't take as much planning and editing and doing all the things.
By
so
the way, do you do
all
your
of that.
Do you do all the different aspects?
Yes.
Planning, editing, and all that? Wow.
Yeah. I have an editor now, but that's a recent thing, like since 2020. Mm-hmm. Like before that, I was doing everything myself.
Yeah.
Everything. I do miss YouTube. I do want to like put some things on there again, but I think I want to treat it.
You do shorts though on YouTube.
I do shorts sometimes, yeah. But like I miss making some long form content. When I first started just making YouTube videos, I was not consistent with it. I was just like, I have a good idea and I want to make that and put it out there. So I kind of want to go back to that where it's like, if I have something I want to talk about or if I have like a cool, fun,
inspo.
Then I like, but I don't want to feel pressured to make something like every single week.
It's a grind.
It's because it's just not for my brain. Yeah. It's just not. If I don't have like a consist, like with Harry Potter, like that was something that I knew enough about that I'm like, oh, I can make things about this forever because that's just in my brain. But everything else, it's like it's not as ingrained in my body. So yeah. I have to wait till the inspo hits. And then I can make something with it.
Yeah. And so you make a lot of content around geek culture and that's yeah. you go to. Mm-hmm. You also hosted Netflix Geek.
I did. I did.
You have a podcast. I mean, there's so many things kind of filter through the Geekiverse or whatever.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Very much.
Do you think that, you know, you'll continue in a certain avenue or?
Yeah. It's like I'm going to be a nerd no matter what. It's in my bones. Like I do love talking about it and connecting with other people and that's why I started going on the internet in the first place, because like I grew up in Pennsylvania, there weren't a lot of nerdy things uh-huh. around. Like people liked Harry Potter, but they weren't as into it as I was. So uh-huh. I felt like, oh, I'm really weird. Like it's weird that I like these things so intensely. And then like when I found the internet and when I found Tumblr, when I found fan fiction, when I found these sort of like intense communities, I was like, oh my God, like these are my people. I'm like, what do you mean I'm not the only one that thinks like that and feels like that and has such like passionate emotions about these like fantasy worlds.
Uh-huh.
So like when I found those people online, it changed my life. And then when I moved to LA and found those people in real life, I was uh-huh. like, oh my God, what a dream. I'm like, I see all these friends that I have now. And I was like, oh, like baby Tessa would have like, this is all aww. She wanted.
Yeah.
Was like, you know, nerd friends.
Yeah.
So like to go to the Renaissance Fair, to go to the Labyrinth Ball, to have like friends that love dressing up and are passionate about these characters and like just want to talk about theories of things and like watch movies together. Like, oh my God, it's a dream. It is a dream. So I think I'm always going to be connected to like that world in some way, but I think it's going to change and develop just like the internet changes. Mm-hmm. You can't like do the same thing forever or else it just gets boring. That's me with anything. That's why feels like I've lived like 10 different lives. And
you have, I mean, in a lot of ways. And you've like, you know, I think you had a post recently that was like, okay, here was my bucket list. I want to be on Broadway. I want to be on TV and I want to be in a cartoon. And you're like, I've done all those. What's next?
Yeah.
It's like a multiple choice question.
But it is one of those things, though, because it's like, what is next? I really don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out now, because it's like when you do those things, I don't like to get stuck in that because mm-hmm. I've seen too much actors resent. Like they grow to resent the thing that they originally loved because they're so stuck in like comparing themselves to their like best moments or to their like when they're at the top and they like get miserable. And I was like, that is not happening. Like I am not doing that. I do not want to be in that headspace.
Yeah.
And that's sort of why like with voiceover, I was like, I need to keep this fun. How do I keep this fun in my brain? And it's kind of the same with like internet stuff too. It's like, how do I keep this fun for me? Mm-hmm. Because like when it becomes a job in my brain, like my brain's like, forget it, we're over this, like I'm bored, you know. It's the ADHD monster in here. It's like mm-hmm. you know, it can only do things for like the same way for so long. So it's uh-huh. like if I'm doing YouTube, it needs to be different than how I was doing it like 5 years ago. It needs to have like a new twist or do something different. But yeah, I don't know. I'd love to like write things. I'd love to like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I want to be a mom too eventually.
Aww,
so
that's really fun.
That takes a lot of time. And
it does take a lot of time.
And that's why I like see people like you and I'm like, how do you guys do this?
Get you're a lot of help. Yeah, have a very supportive husband.
Yep.
Or partner is very useful.
Yeah.
A nanny
is
very important.
So it's like, I need to learn that.
Carving out time for yourself is so important.
Yep. Yeah. So I feel like that's it. It's like, we'll figure it out. But it keeps life not boring.
Yeah.
And that's why I got out of Pennsylvania in the first place.
That's one thing you can say about LA. It is not
boring. That's for sure.
So you talk also about ADHD. How old were you when you were diagnosed with ADHD?
Very recently. Uh-huh. Like I would say 2021, uh-huh. I think, is when I was professionally diagnosed. When I finally got that diagnosis, I was like, oh my God, this is what it was. Because I just thought something was wrong with my brain. I just uh-huh. thought that, like, because I'm like, why is this so difficult for me? Like, why are certain tasks uh-huh. that I see other people do so difficult for me. And I like convinced myself, like when I first met my husband, I'm like, I'm never getting married. I'm never having kids. And I like told him that because in my brain, I was like, I can't handle it. I can't handle like doing all of these things because it's so hard mm-hmm. for my brain to not like hyper-focus on something and then like just keep being like, I can't imagine bringing other people into it. I was like, I need to be focused on what.
It's crazy.
That's what I mean.
I don't know if you want to.
But no, I do want it. So it's like, I've started seeing like a therapist that specializes uh-huh. in ADHD, and it is so helpful because yeah. it's just like simple things like learning how to prioritize things in your brain or learning yeah. how to like cut off the hyperfixation so you don't like stay up for 10 hours, you only do it for 4 hours, like, because I'm telling you, I would get obsessed with something and I'd be like, I need to learn every bit of information wow. about this thing that I love uh-huh. and it's like I love it so much. It's like I love something so much that I just want to know every, that's also the Ravenclaw in me, I want to know everything about it, and then I want to talk to everyone, I want to look at how people are talking about the thing, and it's like, and my hyperfixations have changed. Right now I'm on like a Harry Styles, One Direction, Taylor Swift sort of like uh-huh. hyperfixation, and I am just like living in these at this time, but it's like it changes. It'll be like a show that I'm really obsessed with, it'll be like Harry Potter books, like different pieces of media. Because to me, like, I don't know, reality can be so boring that I need something.
You like magic.
I need it. I need the magic. I like to bring the magic into, like, normal people's lives. Uh-huh. Because sometimes if you're just too focused on, like, day-to-day things, it can get, and if you don't have any magic in it, like, it's yeah. sad. And people lose that. People yeah. lose that, like, sense of, like, wonder and sense of amazement and sense of joy because they feel embarrassed, especially as they get older. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of this, like, talk online about, like, the older that you get, you start feeling like there's, like, a shame there for still liking things because mm-hmm. it's like, oh, it's immature. Oh, it's, like, seen as, like, unserious uncool. Or seen as uncool or seen as, like, you... But I'm like...
Well, it's also harder to fail.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's like, that's absolutely necessary to the growth.
Right.
It's so uncomfortable.
Right.
You're like, I'm really good at this thing, but I'm going to have to fail at this other thing.
Oh, for sure.
To get good at that thing.
For sure. But then it's like, if you never try, then it's just, you're going to just be so trapped in mm-hmm. yourself. And it's going to, you're going to be so much like, oh, but what if? Like, don't have those what ifs. And just go for it.
There's also like... trying to think what book it was that talks about different types of learners. I think it was How to Be Good at Everything.
Ooh,
is the book.
Love that.
And you know, some people are really, they are sort of the experts. They're specific with an arrow focus.
Yep.
And they can move very far. And then there's people who are more generalists that take in a lot of information on many different areas.
Right.
And that we actually all need each other to work together because we right. are the go-betweens and sort of the leaders yes. that can rise up and
oh, for sure.
help bring that.
And then, like, when those people compare themselves to the others, that's where it could, like, not be good. Because you're comparing, like, yeah. oh, like, I have to be as good as this person that, like, mm-hmm. you know, this is their entire life. And they're, like, an expert at it. And it, like,
yeah.
so, but then, and then they'll compare themselves to you. And they're, like, why don't I have this thing yeah. that, like, you have? And it's, like, because it's different. Because we're different. Yeah. Because our, like... everything's different.
That's the thing about the ADHD. So mm-hmm. when I was in the second grade, mm-hmm. I stayed back a year mm-hmm. and I got an ADHD diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And this was like the 80s, mm-hmm. you know? So like the girls were not being diagnosed right. with ADD.
Right.
And my mom was just like, whoa, like, no, this is not. So I ended up staying back, which meant I had a leg up.
Interesting.
Emotionally.
So that was her, like, this is.
Yeah, she's like, we're not going to medicate, you know? Okay. But I mean, there could have been other therapies. I don't know if that would have been covered by insurance or what.
Right.
But it's been this sort of nebulous thing in my life where I've come to just feel like, and this is not true or, you know, anything, but kind of feel like ADHD is a superpower.
It can be.
And that it's maybe just like a personality type, you know, but to a certain extent, I mean, mm-hmm. it's how much are we challenged by it? And like, I have to live with my planner within 3 feet of me. And
right.
I have quarterly goals and yearly goals and, you know, I have to keep revisiting things.
Oh
so I've created like very deep systems.
I need to see your system.
Oh my God, you're gonna love my planner.
I need to see your system.
Planner, the Dragon Tree planner.
Oh my God,
the best planner on earth.
Because I still haven't found a system that works for me, and it's still hell in my brain.
It's very magical. It's
feeling good about this.
It's very manifested. Ooh, and she's a bit of a.
I love. But it's so true. You need that system, or else. Like your entire world falls apart.
And you also need that space to just let your brain do the things and create. And I think sometimes we try to manage our time into a box. And for those of us that are maybe artistic ADHD, I don't know what my label is per se, you know, but it's been easier at times and more challenging.
For sure. Times. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
But like if we micromanage ourselves into a slot, it's like, no, we need that free play time.
I think where it sort of became obvious to me that something like I needed to figure out what this was when I like sort of married my husband and we like moved in together after law school.
Yeah.
Because before law school, we were both like actors. We both had like a free schedule. We were both like, but after he came back from law school, his schedule is very like 9 to 9, you know?
Are you serious?
Oh yeah, he's working all the time.
What kind of attorney is he?
He's like a corporate lawyer. Okay. Yeah, big law. Yeah, like, I don't know if it's going to be
Sounds
this busy
scary.
Forever, but no, he's great. He's amazing. They love him. But it's like because his world is so structured.
Yeah.
It's so hard for me to work with that. So it's like, it got to the point where I'm like, I need help. Like, because this is getting in the way of my life. Before it wasn't like getting in the way.
Yeah.
But now like trying to combine these two lives and also, you know, and it's funny because that's why in the beginning I told him, I was like, I don't know if I could get married because, again, I didn't know if I could bring someone else into my life.
Sure.
Because it's like I can handle myself and I can do my own, like, you know, I like staying up till 3 a.m. and working, like, but that's not going to work. Like, I need to train my brain to do something else. So that's sort of where I'm at right now, is trying to, like, learn how to, like, retrain my brain into, like, doing it at these times, at like when to stop, like finding a system that really works to keep me organized and keep me able to do so many things and bring in things to help him if I have future kids. It's like, you need to do that. You need to have that.
Especially when school starts.
Oh my gosh. That's why I just like superpower. This is a superpower to me. It's like, I want to be this. Please get me there.
So much light and joy to the world. And from the minute I found you on Instagram, I think, and probably through Brizzy.
Probably, yes.
Just hearing about you. And you just bring so much joy and authenticity to yourself and your work. And I'm so stoked for Tiny
Dancing. Yay! It's so fun. And oh my gosh, when I found this podcast, like it was during the pandemic and it was so nice because like I had just sort of gotten into the world of voiceover more seriously because of Tiny Toons. And like I used to like listen to Rob Paulsen's podcast, but then I was like, I need a voiceover podcast to listen to. And then like Brizzy was on yours and I'm like, oh, this is perfect. And then like you had Brian and other friends of people I knew. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so great to hear like all of their stories and things. And it was a joy.
I had a feeling. I remember I was like, hey, you should come on the show. You're like, but you should wait until I can announce something big. And in my mind, I said, I know it's Tiny Toons. I just could tell. I knew it.
What? Really?
You didn't tell? Nope. Yeah, I knew.
Wow. That is impressive. Dang. I did not say anything.
But
you just knew.
I just knew.
You just knew. Superpower. ADHD. I love it.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me. I'm sorry if I just talked your face off.
Nope. It was amazing.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you everybody for listening. Click subscribe or subscribe in the podcast if you're listening somewhere. And we're about to wrap it up for season 3. Ooh. And I have some questions for season 4 because I'm thinking of just going to audio only, maybe doing interviews on Riverside. It's going to be a lot less investment for me because I won't need an editor. But I don't know. We could try to do like a Patreon. That sounds like a lot more work. Or we might just do season 4 audio only and then maybe we come back to in person. It's also, there's nothing like being in person.
It's nice to have the energy, but Riverside actually works really well. We did that for Geeked Podcast and it worked really well.
And we are at 100 guests.
Am I number 100? No.
Well,
there's been multiple people.
We already hit 100 episodes, but some of them were part A and part B.
Oh.
And then there was a series of Instagram lives we did
before.
So it's right in there.
Right in the sweet spot. Oh my gosh. Congratulations. Wow. That is amazing.
That's good.
That's awesome.
But thank you for helping.
Thank you for having me. This has been such a joy.
We'll see you guys soon. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Allison's Wonderland, where we explore the wild and wonderful world of animation and video games. Please remember to subscribe and leave us a review. For more episodes of Allison's Wonderland, please visit us at www.allisonpackard.com. See you next week.